And when Sunday is turned into a day of pleasure rather than a day of worship and Christian service, there is something wrong. We are to glorify the Lord in all things. Are we doing that? Can we honestly say that we are serving the Lord to glorify Him? Now, God is not honored when the place of prayer is vacant and when materialism is more important than the spiritual life of God's people.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air to bring the message of the gospel again today. And I trust that you will stay with us right through the program as we turn to the Word of God, the Bible today. We're turning to 1 Peter 4:10, looking at the gifts of God for ministry. Every Christian should be putting their gift to work. Every Christian should have a work to do in the kingdom of the Lord. It is work now, but rewards in glory. And I trust that you are busy in the work of the kingdom. We begin with Psalm 17. And in these verses, we have a prayer for God's extra special favor of protection. I want to read to you the verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. For the wicked that oppress me from my deadly enemies, who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion, lurking in secret places. The literal translation of this, keep me as the apple of the eye, is keep me as the little man, or the daughter of the eye. The word apple applied to the eye means the pupil, the little aperture in the middle of the eye, through which the rays of light pass to form an image on the retina. Though why it is called the apple of the eye, even the students of lexicography fail to tell us. The Hebrew word means properly a little man, and is given to the apple or pupil of the eye, in which, as in a mirror, a person sees his own image reflected in miniature. And when the psalmist here prays that we are kept as the apple of the eye, that is a confession of our own smallness and our need of God's protection. Also, the eye is the first place we protect and the last thing to give up. We cover our eyes immediately when we are faced with danger. For Samson to lose his eyes under the Philistines and to be left to grind in the mill was a terrible blow. The Lord gives us spiritual eyesight and restores our blindness. He protects us from our enemies with great zeal and personal interest. And so we pray, keep me as the apple of thine eye. I hope that today that you can come and pray and seek the Lord and seek the protection that comes from God's daily care of His people. We have also here a prayer for God's extra special wielding of a sword. Down in the verse 14, it says, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. The psalmist prays first that he may be delivered from men by the hand of God. He then repeats the prayer, from men, I say, and then adds, from the world. He desires to be rescued entirely from such worldly plans, such worldly devices and purposes, and from people among whom nothing but worldly principles prevail. Now, the world is a very powerful force to draw men away from God. Who can stand against this force, this men of the world, They are forceful, determined, smart, appealing, successful, achievers, admirable in their work ethic. But they are slaves to mammon. They live for the gain of this world. Their children inherit much, but they take nothing out of this world. And you note the contrast with the attitude and goals of the Christian in verse 15 of the psalm. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, this is not an unrelated verse, but a contrast to the prior verses. The worldly man, he's like a lion. He is out with his sword. But the child of God, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And of course, this is the confidence that the Christian has, that we are not living for this world, but we're living for glory and for heaven, for that land where we shall be rich toward God, and every day we are storing up riches in heaven. Let's unite in prayer, and we'll look to the Lord to help us today. Father, we thank thee for the reminder here in this Psalm 17. We thank thee that we are as the apple of thine eye, that we are continually in your eye, that we are the very focus of your care and attention. And Lord, we thank thee that you do rush to our aid in any time of danger and trouble. And so remember the saint of God today that needs that comfort and reassurance of the Lord's care and grace. Will you just comfort and bless? Pour in your spirit to minister to the hurting, the raw situation, and to meet the need of the soul today. Thank you for your blessing.
And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest rest. And so tonight, you and I need that dedication, that commitment to our Lord and Master. We have found his service to be sweet. We have found it to be good for our souls. It is our opportunity, and we will not go out and leave it. A good steward will also want to be faithful to the end. In Luke 12, you have the whole story of the servant that was a wise, faithful steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Now, blessed, here's the words of the Lord, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, he's faithful to the end. Now, many of these masters, they didn't announce the date of their return. And that kept the steward on his toes. Any day, any day. And for you and me, the Lord has not told us when he's returning. He has not told us the day when we shall end our ministry. Now, we were praying for Dr. Paisley this evening, and we trust the Lord will be gracious at this time. But Dr. Paisley preached and said many, many times down through the years, my work, I am immortal until my work is done. So are you and I. But when is it done? And if we are not found busy at the task, ministering faithfully, serving with all our hearts, how will the Lord find us? The Lord in his church gives you opportunity, gives you the means, gives you the time, the talent, the breath in your body, blesses you with material success, with comforts in life, and then we just use all of them to our own ends rather than serve the Lord. How is such a steward going to give account on that great day? And so this is a great responsibility as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now we move into verse 11, and we find our third responsibility, that in the Lord's church we have a responsibility to speak with God's authority. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. And then verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Preaching is in view right here. And Peter shows that preachers and Bible teachers have a responsibility to preach with the authority of the Bible. These word oracles are the revelations that God has given, and of course for us they are written, and they are now formed into this word that is inspired and revealed to us. But we have a living Bible, and it speaks with divine authority. And if any man is called to the task of preaching this book, he is to do so not in his own name, not in his own authority, but with a spirit of trembling at this book, that we preach it as the oracles of God. Now, preaching is a gift, and it's a gift of degrees. Some find it very easy. Others do it with great labor. Some people do so in a haphazard fashion. Others have sensed the call of God and given their whole lives to the task. But we notice here that this is to be done as the ambassador of the King. And there is no more responsible task than being a faithful communicator of God's word. And that might be to our Sunday school teachers, with those little boys and girls who are just learning memory verses under your direction. You are to handle this book as God's holy, eternal word, and never reduce this Bible in any way. I just heard last night about a preacher not very far from here who would be in the charismatic circle of things. And in one meeting, he took his Bible, he stood on the Bible and said, "See, I'm standing on the Word of God." Now, there are many religions in the world that take their holy book and they elevate it, honor it. And here we have the living Word of God, God breathed. We are to be faithful to it and handle it with a godly fear and reverence, that we may promote the gospel and preach it with all our hearts, within earshot of the Master, knowing that we give account of our handling of God's word. Now, in verse 11, you'll notice it says also, and this is point number four now, Peter shows we have a responsibility to minister with our utmost ability. Let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So we're not to hide our gift, we're not to waste it, but we are to make use of it. We're to exercise the gift that God has given us. Now, I think here of Paul writing to young Timothy. Timothy was given charge to be a pastor of a church. And Paul said to him, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now, Timothy was literally a student of the Apostle Paul. He was converted under his ministry, and he was handpicked for the work of God by the apostle. And Paul laid hands on him, and he sent him to pastor the church at Ephesus. And he said to him, "Do not be timid." And it seems that Timothy had a spirit of fear, a timidity. He was fearful. And he says, Paul said to him, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Now, when God calls you into his church and saves you by his grace, and when he gives you opportunity to serve, and he gives you a way to use your talents, gifts, and treasure, and that you might strengthen the body of Christ, the Lord would say to you tonight, stir up that gift. Don't back off and say, well, let somebody else do it. If everybody takes that approach, there will be no one serving in the church. Now, don't be like the other fellow either, who comes along and says, well, unless you let me preach at Sunday services in the pulpit, I'm going to resign. As opportunity presents itself, as an open door unfolds, you serve with that glad, happy, willing readiness of spirit. Now, what's your responsibility in light of this tonight, and mine? What is our responsibility in this? I think every one of us needs to get on our knees and say, Lord, take my life. Take my time, my talents, my treasure, and stir me up that I might use my life, that you might use my life in service for thee and for your glory. And last week I spoke of the doctor who discovered a new cure and sat upon the knowledge. What would you think of such a doctor? And he knew a way to cure disease and relieve suffering, but because of his own desire to patent it and protect it and use it in the future for greater gain, sat on the knowledge and allowed people to continue and suffer. If God has given us gifts and opportunities to serve him, it's time that we lay ourselves on the altar and pray, Lord, stir me up. Don't let me take a back seat. No other way can we give account as we would serve the Lord. Now, fifthly, we move on in this verse. It says that God in all things may be glorified. Now, God is not glorified when Christians are lazy. God is not glorified when Christians watch the Super Bowl on the Lord's Day. I don't buy that for a moment. And when Sunday is turned into a day of pleasure rather than a day of worship and Christian service, there is something wrong. We are to glorify the Lord in all things. Are we doing that? Can we honestly say that we are serving the Lord to glorify him? Now, God is not honored when the place of prayer is vacant and when materialism is more important than the spiritual life of God's people. And as we learned last week, when we don't do our job, the whole body suffers. Remember what we learned about cells in the body, particular organs in the body? Even it's just a finger that's broken, or maybe the blood flow and circulation has ceased in one finger, the whole body is weakened. You realize the number of things that you can't do with a broken finger? Can't hold a pen if it's in your right hand. You can't type. You can't open the knob of a door. You have difficulty picking up a phone. That's just the smallest little external part of your body. Now, you might think that you're on the fringe of the church and you don't count, and that your service is nothing. But one day you're going to give account, because what you do in your rightful place, it may be the smallest obscure position, but as you fulfill your task, you serve the body to glorify the Lord. And then the last one, we have a responsibility to praise the name of our Lord Jesus. And it says here that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion. Do you notice something here? That Peter has no hesitation whatsoever to praise the name of the Lord Jesus as God. You don't offer praise to men. You don't offer praise to those who are mere mortals. But here is Peter, and he has no question mark on the full deity of the Son of God. And he is redeemed by the Lord Jesus. He's his Savior. And Peter is exhorting Christians to live in the light of the cross. And when you think of what our Lord Jesus accomplished at the cross, we are to live to his praise, who has dominion forever and ever. Our lives are to be a continual offering unto the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have a hymn book in your hand 24/7. What Peter is saying here about offering, glorifying God through the Lord Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever, that does not mean that we go through life always with a hymn book in our hand and singing hymns and psalms. You praise the Lord when you obey him. You exalt the Lord Jesus when you live above the world and all its sin. You bring praise to the Lord Jesus when you bring a sinner through the door who needs to hear the gospel. And if he's converted, you'll be singing with the angels who rejoice over every sinner that repents. You praise the Lord when you live as a godly husband with your wife, ministering to her, encouraging her, loving her as Christ loved the church. And wives, you bring praise to the name of the Lord Jesus when you adorn the gospel with a meek, quiet, submissive spirit. And that does not give us a mandate as men to just turn our wives into servants. They are our helpmates. They are God's gifts. But they're also daughters in the kingdom of God. They are the children of God. And we're to live with our wives in our homes, day and night, giving honor, to the weaker vessel. And just recently, I put that message on radio. I was listening to part of it again, and I made the point that when we say that the wife is the weaker vessel, it also means that the husband is a weak vessel. It just happens that the woman is a weaker than the husband constitutionally, physically, sometimes emotionally. There are weaknesses that men don't have to deal with. How do we praise the Lord? With our gifts. What is a gift? What is grace? Well, it is the operation of the Spirit of God in the Christian's life. It could be a gift of wisdom. What the world calls common sense, the Christian seeks the wisdom of God and the mind of God. And that's a great gift. If you were born into a Christian home and grew up in a Christian church and you have solid Bible knowledge, that's God's gift to you. And you are to use that to minister to the new Christian, the weak, and to evangelize. And by using your gift, you bring praise to the name of the Lord Jesus and to God the Father. Now, in the church, we have this great responsibility of exalting the Lord Jesus. I think everyone here tonight would agree on that without question. If you have a problem with exalting the name of the Lord Jesus, could you really call yourself a Christian? And so this is the goal of every one of us. We might have different ideas sometimes on how to do that. Maybe we should extend this or prolong something else, or we should change some format. But we have one great goal as a church: to exalt the Lord Jesus. Now, if you have ways that you feel you can enhance the exalting of our Lord Jesus in our church, I want to know. I'm interested. I'm not going to go charismatic, and I'm not going to start speaking in tongues, and I'm not going to go off the rails and do something radical. But if you've got an honest burden to enhance the ministry of this church, to exalt the Lord Jesus, I'm all ears. I want to know. But you see, that's the question. Do you have a heart to exalt the Lord Jesus? You see, from what I learned from Peter and from the Bible, we have taken a little bit of a perspective on what other churches are focusing on. That any Christian that wants to be absent and opt out of real commitment, real service, there's a question mark. Do you really want to exalt the Lord Jesus? Now you'll notice that this ends a whole section here with a doxology and an amen. And it begins a whole new section on the suffering Christian. But it requires an amen from us. And I would like to think that in response to our messages on this from Peter, that there would be the agreement, the amen in your heart. That's my burden. That's my vision, my goal. Let's get on with it. To the best of our ability, as given by God. Now, our abilities are different, but we'll only give account for the talents God gave us. If someone else got 5 talents and I only got 1, I don't have to give account for those 4. But I do have to give account for the 1. And I'll stand before God and I'll give answer for the opportunities and the manner in which I sought to exalt the Lord Jesus. It's a solemn responsibility. But Peter lays it on. And when we get to heaven, we wish we had labored more. We wish we had disciplined ourselves better. We will wish that we had used every opportunity to the full.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.